Hi everyone, welcome back to Queer Coco. I'm Bileve Musso and I'm your host. So today I'll be talking about how we can create safe spaces for our queer youth to come out. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is because I was talking to someone in my DMs recently about it, and it kind of reminded me of how I'm so lucky to be able to be out and be free about who I am. But it was also a reminder of how I didn't feel safe to come out for 20 years, and it wasn't until my parents asked me that I was able to do this. I also have to say that I felt some resentment towards this person because I have known this person for my entire life. I just think it's annoying and frustrating because it's all cute and fun to be so supportive after the fact, but where was this energy when I was going through the struggle? So just letting you know, this person said something along the lines of, did you or did you not know that you were gay when you were growing up? We knew. We're just waiting for you to say something. Okay, granted that times are different back then and it wasn't really talked about as much, so I fully acknowledge that. So hopefully by sharing my experience, it can help other people not make the same mistakes that my family made, because we can only do better if we know better. We often hear people talking about creating safe spaces for kids to be able to talk about anything with their parents, like the birds and the bees, for example. And I think that's a beautiful thing, but I also think we could broaden the conversation to include being able to ask questions about your sexuality as a kid. And I get it, almost everything in our culture is taboo. I totally get it, and generally I think the more honest people are about what they like, the less bullshit happens in the shadows. There's this idea that if we talk about it, then it'll make it all too real for us. But shit, it could just be a question and it doesn't necessarily make them gay. Kids are naturally inquisitive, so of course they have questions about things they see. There's that saying that goes, ignorance is bliss. And that ignorance has cost many young people their lives, and even people that are older than me. For many people, there are different definitions of coming out. For me, coming out completely wasn't a thing until I let my parents know. So I think the definition is dependent on who you find is most important, whose opinion you value most. Having grown up in South Auckland in the 90s and early 2000s, coming out was not something that I ever saw for myself. It was so far removed from, like, what I couldn't even fathom it. So when people say things like, oh, we knew the whole time, it doesn't make me feel good, because if you knew, you could have been that one person that could have helped me through what I was going through. I could have come out a little bit earlier. I could have done a lot of things. And I'm lucky that I never thought of harming myself. That wasn't an option for me. But for many, I know that that's kind of, it really is the only thing they can think of as their way out. So to me, I think if you have an inkling that someone is not straight, or if you think they're struggling with their sexuality or just anything, I think if you can speak up and talk to that person, it will help them tremendously. And even if they deny it, like I did growing up with like my friends at school and stuff, I think eventually you will break down that wall and they will feel comfortable talking to you, or just talking to anyone else. We miss out on so much when we're in the closet, like little things like dating when we're in high school, talking about our crushes, like really little things like that can really help us later in life, because I find that I've missed out on so much like that, and I don't even know how to navigate when I'm in those kinds of situations. I don't have that knowledge. Another reason why I think people saying things like "we've been new" really irks me, is because I know that I'm guilty of having these kinds of conversations with people. Like, it's never, the intention is not great, it's just to gossip. And so I think people saying stuff like that, it really shows me that they knew and they were just saying stuff like, "oh, did you see how he was carrying the bag? Oh, his poor girlfriend, she doesn't even know." Like, a really good example of someone creating a safe space is Ben's story. So on episode 2, Ben shared his coming out to his brother. His brother basically asked him if he was gay, reassured Ben that he knew, and he knew that it wasn't something that he could choose. So when I think about Ben's story, I just think, wow, so lucky to have had someone just straight out ask you. And Ben is so lucky to have that. And I wish that everyone had a brother like Ben's brother. There are ways to engage that don't really involve you having to flat out ask. And it's like little things, like watching things like TV shows and movies that don't necessarily center straight characters. There are so many stories out there. There are so many movies that you can watch. Yes, I think normalizing seeing people that are not straight being reflected back to them to help them feel like it is normal, and it is a fact of life that not everyone is the same. And this is not only beneficial to queer kids, it's for everyone. And I know there are some people out there that think that having conversations with their kids about if they see a gay couple out in public, they don't want to explain it to their kids because they're too young. But that also is, it speaks to the misconception that gay people are promiscuous and we're all about sex, but it's not. We crave the same things that everyone else does, and that's a basic need for love. Ew. You don't have to explain everything to your kid if they see two guys kissing or two girls kissing. Like, you don't have to explain the ins and outs, literally. But you can say something like, "yeah, well, some kids have two moms and two dads, and that's okay." Another thing as specific people that we need to stop doing is only viewing our gay people and our fat-fiving it as comedic relief. And what I mean by that is, like, we're so quick to laugh and okay guys acting as women when it's performative and just for laugh. Our churches are guilty of this, our families are guilty of this. It's always like the main event in a performance, and I must admit, like, it gets really old to be like really quick. And other things that that are kind of accepted when it comes to these performances is the hypersexualization of the performance. Like, you can get away with thrusting and doing things you wouldn't normally do if you were just performing as yourself. So, and that also adds to this stereotype of fa-fa-finge and gay people being all about sex and just really promiscuous people. And just like everyone else, we're more nuanced than that. There are more layers to us than just that. So I think the faster we get away from those kind of performances, I think that our young people that are struggling with their identity will feel a little bit more comfortable coming out, because they're not the laughing stock of their church or their family. And I can attest to this, because I remember at church we did a whole performance where it was a ballet, and it was just the men doing the ballet. I was in this, and it was hilarious. Like, everyone laughed, it was cute, whatever. But during those practices, like at like break time, it was time to eat, and I would hang out with the girls, and my dad would still come and grab me to go sit with the boys, and he would tell me, no, you shouldn't be sitting with the girls, go and sit with the boys. So when you're young, it's just a big ass mindfuck, really. There's something else that I want to bring up. There's something else that I wanted to talk about. And I don't know how relevant it is to this topic, but I remember in primary school, we got a new playground. So shout out to Dawson Primary. We got a new playground, and because there were so many kids, they kind of had a timetable on who got to play on it on certain days. So there was a day for year four boys, and then a day for year four girls. So it went like that. And all my friends are girls, mind you. So I remember when it first started, and all my friends were on the playground, and obviously I wasn't allowed to because I was a boy. And I just remember walking around the school really miserable, and I was crying, and my teacher saw me as she walked past, and she's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, all of my friends are on the playground. And she grabbed me and she took me to the playground and she let me play on there. And then I remember, so that was like the small break that you have. And then at lunchtime, it was the same thing, but she wasn't around. But I thought, hey, I'll just go and play because my teacher said it was all right. And then I was playing on there, and then the teacher aide came and grabbed me, and she said I wasn't allowed to play on it. And so then I told my teacher what happened, and she was like, oh, well, don't play on there unless I'm there. And then, yeah, so I understood it. Like, there wasn't much that I could do. But I remember a lot of my teachers growing up really had my back in that way. They really made me feel like, oh, you don't have to be with the boys all the time. You don't have to do what all the other boys are doing. And I found that they were really nurturing of my creativity as well. And to them, I'm really grateful, because that was another example of people creating a safe space around me. And like, I feel like the last time I really felt secure and felt the most safe to be myself was back in primary school, which is so sad, because the world is supposed to evolve. And while it has, I think the little comments that have been made against me, or to mock me, or to put me down, those little comments have really chipped away at who I really am and who I choose to be myself around. So it really dictates that for me. And what I mean by that is I in my everyday life, in my head, I am constantly thinking about what I'm doing, how I'm doing it, how people are perceiving what I'm doing. So even like things just like walking, how I walk, how I hold a bag. Like sometimes I forget, and then that's when someone's like, why are you holding your bag like that? I'm just like, so when my guards do go down, that's when comments start being made, like just little things. Honestly, it's always the little things that really that put me off. And honestly, even comments from like little kids can really mess with me as well. Like, are you a boy or are you a girl? And I usually respond with both. And along the way, I have met kids who don't even bat an eyelash when I'm around, because their parents have taught them, or they've been around people like me that aren't necessarily like the norm to everyone else. And I usually tell their parents, well, your kids are really good with me. They haven't said how different I am, and they haven't made comments about me. I usually go up to their parents and say stuff like that, because it's really important that we raise our kids around different people, and that doesn't just include different backgrounds and cultures. It does include different kinds of people, different people that are not straight, that are not of the binary. And staying true to form and going further off topic, I wanted to talk about my experience going to an all-boys school, a space that I don't feel like is safe for young queer kids to be in. So again, this is my experience. I haven't been to school, been in high school since, I graduated in 2007, this was my experience within year 9 and 10, and it was just before I moved to Australia. So when I went to the school, I dreaded going every day. The school is well known for their rugby team and just anything to do with sports, which is so not me. But when I found out I was going to the school, I was really anxious about it, and every day was a challenge for me just to even get up out of bed. And I found it so hard to make friends when I first went there, so much so that my little brother, who was 2 years younger than me, was my lunch buddy, which is pretty pathetic and sad. But I just wanted to say to parents out there, if you have an inkling that your son is gay and you're not in the position, or you don't feel comfortable having that conversation with them, I say please avoid putting them into an all-boys school. I remember when I went... So when I was at the school, I remember... kids talking about being sexually abused while they were at the school, not by the teachers, not anything like that, but by other students. And I'm so grateful that that wasn't my experience. I'm not about to tell you anything like that, but because I was really lucky, my parents, I didn't see it that way at the time, but I wasn't allowed to go to school camps. I wasn't involved in many extracurricular activities as well, where I would be alone with other kids, or where I would be away from my parents for a long period of time. But had I gone to those camps, or had I been involved with after school activities, I could have been a victim of those things. But what happened to me in that school was things like guys knowing that I was different and playing on that. I'd be propositioned, asked if I would go into the bathroom with these guys and perform oral sex. If my secret wasn't the most important thing to me at the time, I probably would have gone along with it. But as I said before, I never planned on coming out. I never saw it for myself. So I wanted to protect my secret at all costs, even if it meant missing out on some jocks. But yeah, I just had an awful experience, and this happened to me at a few of the schools that I went to, where I was linked to the other gay person or feminine person that was in my grade, or in my form, as you call it in New Zealand. So like any high school, there were cliques in the school. So there were three main ones at the school, and one of them were the jocks. So they were just the guys that played sports, and those guys. and the other group that I found myself in were with the nerdy kids that and that was a group made up of Filipina kids, the Balangi kids as well, and just anyone who liked the Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And then finally there were the Divas. The Divas was made up of boys and girls that were openly queer and out. Everyone knew who they were. And this was a group that I tried to stay away from the most. And honestly, I didn't have many interactions with this group because I saw myself in them. And that was what I was running away from. And just that, like, even that small association with them, everyone would know who the fuck I was. Even though my secret was the worst kept secret in Hollywood. But looking back, I do regret that. I feel like I would have enjoyed my experience more at the school, because even though the Divas were the outcast, they were also kind of respected at the same time. The guys treated them like they were the girls, but in saying that, I don't know their full experience, if they were if they were even happy at the school. I floated between groups, so I floated between the jocks and the nerds. And don't ask me how, because the jocks were like into sports and things like that, obviously. But it's so hard to explain, because in one hand, I fucking hated that school and the boys were really mean. But on the other hand, I could easily float between groups, but I never really felt at home in either of the groups. So I became really close to one of the boys, who was also as feminine as me, but was really good at footy, like really good at footy. And I thought being friends with him, no one would question it, no one would say things about me or us being together. But boy, was I mistaken, because shortly after we became like really good friends, the rumors started. I was approached while I was walking to another class, and one of the boys, it was a group of them actually, but one of them was like, "Hey, I heard about you, and I heard that you guys were caught having sex behind the Māori room." And that was one of the most toughest times that I ever had in school, because up until that point, like up until going to this school, I was always in like the groups that were, like all my friends were girls, and these groups were always like kind of the cool kids. And so I've never felt so low in my schooling days, so much so that I started to not go to school. There were days when I'd just lie in bed, and just my mum would, it would kind of be just like a signal to her to let her know that I'm not going that day. I wasn't going to do it. Like I used to ask her if I could stay, but then it got to a point where I wouldn't ask, I'd just not get ready for school. But on those days, I would still have to get changed into my uniform in time for my dad to get home, so it looked like I did go to school. I never once told my parents what was going on at school. I didn't even tell my mom why I was avoiding it. But she knew I was unhappy at that school. I think everyone knew. In fact, I've spoken to some of the boys that I've gone to school with since then, and they did say that I never seemed happy at that school. Which is really sad because I'm a kid that really loved school. I enjoyed everything about school. So parents, if you have an inkling, again, if you have an inkling that your son is gay, or you think that sending them to an all-boys school might not be the best fit thing for them, maybe talk to them. Or if you're not ready to have that conversation, just don't send them to those schools, because I can tell you from my experience that it was the worst 2 years of my life. And of course, no one is safe from bullying. That is just what happens in school. But it wasn't a safe environment for me. It wasn't. It's something that I'm still dealing with to this day. And just like the other things I talked about, things that happened at that school have really chipped away at who I am and how I see myself as well. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and I think it'll be my final point today, would be the gender policing, which I've briefly touched on in previous episodes. And more often than not, parents know that their kid, if their kid is gay or not. I know my parents knew I was, because growing up, I know it's really, as boys, we're not allowed to go into our sister's rooms, we're not allowed to go in our girl cousin's rooms. But I was allowed to do all those things. I was allowed to sleep with them in their beds and hang out with them in their rooms. So, so I know they knew. And I don't know if you remember the story that I told with in the episode with Ben, where my dad picked me up early from school and he saw that I was playing netball with my girlfriend. And there's such a double standard with that, because I did get in trouble for that. But had my brothers put their hand up to play netball in school, they wouldn't have questioned it at all. And I brought this example up earlier today. When we were at church, I'd go and hang out with the girls, and I remember my dad tapping me on the shoulder and being like, "What are you doing? Go and sit with the boys." And me going to sit with the boys and just feeling so... just felt so off, and I felt so embarrassed that I got in trouble for things like for just sitting with the girls. So if you already know, or you have an idea that your kid is gay, what's the point of policing it, and what's the point of telling them to stop doing this and that, when they're already who they are? Like, I was already who I was. And you just need to stop being in denial and prolonging the process. I didn't come out till I was 20 years old, and had I felt safe enough to come out, I would have come out earlier, but I never saw it for myself. I never felt safe to do so. No one ever approached me in the right way. And I'm not saying it's easy. It's not easy to come to terms with your kid being different, but I can't stress to you how important it is for you to let them tell you their truth, because it could be the real difference between keeping them alive or burying them. So guys, that's all we have for you today. I hope it's made sense. It's taken me a few days to record this. I had another topic in mind that didn't really work out. But I hope that, I hope that some of this made sense. Please let me know if you have any questions. You can hit me up on my socials on Instagram and Twitter. My handle is @queercoco. On Facebook. You can find me on facebook.com/queercoco, and you can also record a message. So wherever you listen to this podcast, on the description you can click send a voice message, I think it's called, and then you can send me a voice message and let me know if you want me to play that back on air. But yeah, there's so many ways to hit me up, and I love answering questions and engaging with you guys. For next week's episode, I do have a little giveaway planned. I don't know what that looks like yet, but you will find out on my Instagram and Twitter and Facebook as well. Maybe before the episode drops or as the episode drops. So please keep your eyes and ears peeled for that. But yeah, thank you so much for listening today. And yeah, I hope it made sense. Like, I don't know. But yeah, we'll see you in the next one. Bye.